We begin Advent today and start our journey to Christmas. This Christmas season, though, will be different than years past. The COVID pandemic has disrupted life and continues to do so by throwing a big wrench into our Christmas plans. So during Advent this year, I'll preach a sermon series called Christmas Interrupted. And as we go through this series, I encourage us to look for God's presence in the midst of our interruptions and to really consider what God is trying to teach us. The scripture that we'll study today comes from Isaiah chapter 64. This text is part of a long lament that began in chapter 63. And the gist of this lament is that Isaiah is appealing to God for help and for mercy for his people who find themselves in dire circumstances. Many scholars believe that this book was written after Israel returned from their exile during the difficult period of reconstructing Jerusalem. Now, today's reading reflects some of the tensions, frustrations, and uncertainties of that period of time. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. I'll read from the 64th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And this is what the scripture says. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when kindle fires brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversary, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you are angry, and we sinned, because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are your people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Interruptions, they happen. They're a part of life. And whether we like it or not, they intrude into whatever we're doing and force us to stop. Now, some interruptions we gladly accept, like when our spouse says, "Honey, let's take a break from our work and go get some lunch." That usually sounds good to us because we welcome the time with our loved one. But there are also lots of unwelcomed interruptions. Life was going along smoothly at the beginning of this year, but then in March, it was rudely interrupted by COVID-19 and everything shut down from there. I remember a lot of us thinking that the shutdown would be short-lived. We believed we would get over this virus in a couple of weeks and then life would return to normal. Well, things haven't worked out that way, have they? COVID has been an unwelcomed interruption, and it continues to interrupt almost every area of life. So we begin Advent today, which, by the way, is the beginning of the church's liturgical year. We're hopeful that a better year lies ahead. We're hopeful that a vaccine is just around the corner. We're hopeful that the job market will improve and the economy will grow. We're hopeful that life will open up soon. Of course, many of us are grieving that this Christmas season will be dramatically different from previous ones. We know we won't be able to do the things that we've done in the past. We're skipping lots of our favorite traditions. And many families are dealing with some very hard questions. And one of the biggest is, do we visit our elderly parents and grandparents? Now, every family faces a different set of circumstances and will have to decide what's right and safe for them. This is the first year that Victoria and I and our family won't be able to visit her family in Texas. Getting there safely is one of our issues, but our primary concern lies with protecting her parents. We don't want to spread the virus to her parents at all. We want to keep them safe. So we don't want to do anything that would jeopardize their health. Now, many of our Christmas plans and traditions have been put on hold in a year known for interruptions. And many of these interruptions have actually caused separations. You know, early on in the pandemic, we felt stuck under stay-at-home orders. We couldn't go to church, we couldn't go to school or to restaurants or to movies or even to sporting events. Many friends and families decided to keep their distance from each other. Spouses separated from one another when one caught the virus and had to be isolated for the safety of their families. People traveling to different states or to other countries were forced to quarantine. And I think one of the worst separations caused by this virus is the separation that happens when a loved one was dying. We've all heard those tragic stories of an elderly parent in a nursing home or a terminally ill relative in the hospital who wasn't allowed to have any visitors. Family members couldn't be there to hold their hand and say goodbye. This is all part of our shared experience. 2020 has been a terrible year for us, and we all know the suffering, the pain, the fear, and the loss of hope that it's ushered in. We are tired of the interruptions. We're tired of the separations. Sure, we've been using Zoom and FaceTime to stay connected with our loved ones, but we miss real human interaction. We miss hugging and laughing and crying together. We miss human touch, and we want it back. We want our relationships with our families, friends, colleagues, and neighbors to return to normal. We want things to be like they used to be. Now, our experience shares some similarities with the experience of Isaiah and his people. The glory days of Israel had faded away. Years earlier, the northern kingdom of Israel came to an end. Memory of life in Judea and temple worship was a faint memory. And in the time that had passed, many of these Israelites had been carried into captivity where they lived as exiles in a foreign land. When they eventually returned to their homeland, their behavior, unfortunately, became scandalous, immoral, and unbefitting of God's people. They neglected their faith by not participating in religious and spiritual practices. They lived in open rebellion against God. Their rulers were corrupt and had set up false idols. The people ignored and neglected the poor and the marginalized, and they refused to listen to the prophets. Life was not going well. In fact, it had been a long time since they experienced prosperity or enjoyed the blessings that come from God. For most people, it felt as if the Lord was far away, as if God had abandoned them. Isaiah summarizes this feeling in verse 7, where he says, "You have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity." From their collective memory, the Jewish people remembered the glories of their past. They remembered of how God had intervened on their behalf, and they longed to experience God's presence again. Now, that desire is reflected in the opening words of chapter 64, where Isaiah pleads with the Lord, saying, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." Isaiah wanted God to interrupt their lives and visit them. Now, there was so much that wasn't right in life, and the Hebrew people had lost sight of God and forgotten that God actually enjoys to visit. Now, God loves being with his people. Now, you may even remember that the Bible begins with God spending time with his people in the Garden of Eden. And according to the third chapter of Genesis, the Lord came walking into the area where Adam and Eve lived. And then the scripture says, the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" That's an important question for us to consider. Where are we at this moment? How are we dealing with life right now? How are we dealing with all the interruptions that have happened this year? No matter how you answer that question, the good news is that God wants to visit us. And often, God will visit us when we're not even looking for it. Isaiah had witnessed that his people were not paying attention to God. They had other things to do than worship the Lord. They weren't looking for God to visit them. And yet, this is what the Lord does. God loves to visit the people of this world. Now, we see this play out with God's chosen people from the very beginning. God visited Abraham, disguised as an angel, and then joined them for a meal. God visited Jacob and wrestled with him in an epic struggle. God visited Moses in the burning bush and on Mount Sinai and other places too. God was present with the Israelites in the form of fire and smoke and cloud as they wandered through the wilderness. God visited Samuel, calling out to him while he was sleeping. God visited Elijah in a still small voice. In one example after another, we see that God has a habit of breaking into life and interrupting us from whatever we're doing. When Isaiah cried out, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down," he knew that it was in God's nature to visit us. And when he said in verse 3, "When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down," he was essentially saying, "Lord, we know you like to visit us, but you haven't done it in a while. What's going on? Why haven't you stopped by and spent some time with us? Or have we just not noticed?" Visiting us, even interrupting our lives, is part of the way God works. And this is still true today. God wants to be with us, visit with us, and God will even interrupt our lives. Now, we don't always like interruptions, but we had better pay attention to them because God might very well be in the middle of it. Isaiah believed that there had to be some reason to explain why God had been staying away from his people. And he suspected that something was wrong. And in verse 5, he says, "You meet those who gladly do right." And he knows that God works for those who wait for him. And then Isaiah spells out the problem. The people had damaged their relationship with God through their sin and through their idolatry. The Lord then hid himself. And verse 7 says, "You have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity." To Isaiah and to his people, it felt as if God had left them alone. Now, when they returned from their exile, their world had been turned upside down. They found their homeland in turmoil. Jerusalem was in ruins, and they desperately needed the Lord to visit them because the temple needed to be rebuilt, and the city walls needed to be erected for their safety. Life was a mess. The people were grieving and lamenting what felt like the loss of God's presence. And they really wondered if God would ever visit them again. The beginning of the book of Lamentations, which was written as a reaction to the destruction of Jerusalem, says, "How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She that was great among the nations, she that was a princess among the provinces, has become a vassal." Like the people of Isaiah's day, we find ourselves in a time of turmoil. We've been dealing with all kinds of interruptions and struggles, and we want God to visit us. We want the Lord to tear open the heavens and come down. But we should remember that God may not visit us in the way that we want or in the way we expect. And yet, a visit is still promised. That's the promise of Christmas. Now, in this season, we celebrate Emmanuel, that God is with us. But when we sin, we pull ourselves away from God. And yet, the Lord doesn't leave us alone. And God especially doesn't leave us alone when life is hard. God is with us when the economy or the election or anything else doesn't work out in the way that we want it to go. God is in the business of coming close to us. And sometimes, God will even interrupt our lives to get our attention. The story of Christmas reminds us that the heavens were torn open and God came down to us in the form of a baby born in a dirty manger in Bethlehem. That baby would grow into the person of Jesus Christ, who spent his earthly ministry visiting people in their time of need. He spent his ministry interrupting people and calling them to follow. And Christ continues to do the same today. I hope that this Advent will be a time in which we all will prepare for a visit from God, and that we'll learn to look for God's presence in any and all of the interruptions that come our way, so that we might experience the fullness of God's presence each and every day. So the next time you get interrupted, try not to get too frustrated. Instead, welcome the interruption, because you just might meet God in the middle of it. I invite you now to join me in prayer. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Oh God, this has been a year with one interruption after another. Life has been thrown upside down, and even our Christmas plans have been disrupted. We long for a more normal life. And while there is so much turmoil in our world, we pray that we will look for your presence even in the interruptions that intrude into our lives. Come to us, Lord, for we need your guidance and your love and your grace and your peace more than ever. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.